Joan Di Gusso doesn't need to worry about star chefs or the price of organic vegetables. She grows all her produce herself. Gusso tells her story in her memoir, This Organic Life. She told Anne Strainchamps, "You don't have to live in the country to sustain yourself on homegrown food. In fact, a New York suburb will do."
Yes, I live 20 minutes north of the George Washington Bridge, and I have a piece of land 36 feet wide and about 200 feet deep, but a lot of that is house and shade, so I have about 1,000 square feet of growing space for vegetables.
And in that 1,000 square feet, you grow enough to feed yourself completely?
Well, to feed all my vegetables and many of my fruits. I don't grow any grains. I don't grow any dairy products. That little bit of meat I eat, I don't grow any animals. So obviously I'm not, quote, feeding myself, but I am not buying produce.
Well, so what does your diet look like now? What do you eat in the summer, for instance, when there must be lots growing in your garden?
Well, I eat a lot of tomatoes. I eat a lot of peppers. I eat a lot of green beans. I have broccoli. I have kale. I have sugar snap peas in the spring and the fall. I have beets. I have carrots when fall comes. I usually plant carrots deliberately so I don't have them in the summer because I don't really need them in the summer. I have so much fresh food. I eat a lot of tomatoes. When tomatoes are really in for that 2 or 3 months that they're really in, I think it's sinful not to just basically trip out on tomatoes.
And what about in the winter?
In the winter, I eat marvelously. I just made a big batch yesterday of roasted tomato sauce. All you do is put all this stuff in a pan and cook it for 40 minutes in a 400-degree oven. And it's basically tomatoes and carrots and parsley and other herbs and some balsamic vinegar roasted together and then pureed and then frozen. I will have a lot of that put away by winter. I will have a lot of potatoes in storage. I will have onions in storage. I will have sweet potatoes. I grow sweet potatoes in storage. I will have out in the garden until really, really cold weather, I will have kale. There's lots of things you can do with other than just turn up your nose and say, I don't like kale. Oh, I have spinach and salad greens in the summer, and I have spinach very early in the spring if I plant it in the fall. I have a cold frame so that I've sometimes, when I get my act together in time in the late summer to do it, I can plant in the cold frame. And I've actually picked salads in the middle of the winter when it was 10 below out of a cold frame. So
you're kidding. It was 10 below and there's lettuce growing?
Yes, it actually, the interesting thing, this was taught to me by one of the most brilliant organic farmers I know named Elliot Coleman, that lettuce can actually freeze, but if it's not exposed to a lot of extra moisture and wind, it will thaw again. And I have discovered that the lettuce in my cold frame can be absolutely rigid at night. And actually, the problem with running a cold frame is that if the sun comes out on a really cold day, you can burn everything inside unless you lift the lid because it gets really warm inside.
So what's in the middle of winter? What's a typical wintertime meal for you?
Well, one of the things I make a lot of, probably once a week, is a recipe that my husband sort of made up based on a place we used to go in California, which is a potato dish with tomatillos. And you know tomatillos, the green tomatoes that the Mexicans use? I grow
that
tomatillos.
Husky, papery shell on them.
I grow tomatillos and I cook them and then I freeze the tomatillo sauce in ice cube trays. So I have ice cube trays full of, I also make hot sauces, Mexican sauces, but I just have tomatillo puree. And so I use that with cumin and a little hot pepper, sometimes chorizo sausage if I have it, and I make this potato dish. I have not been eating much meat at all. Not really so much for health reasons, though I think people should eat much less, but really for moral reasons. I cannot justify the American food system, particularly where meat is concerned. I just read one too many stories about how pregnant sows live over their own waist in cells so small they have to hunch up, and I just decided I couldn't deal with it.
Well, I think most people, or a lot of people, do feel that way, but it's really hard to sort of get through life having to think about where all your food comes from and then feeling bad about the animals that had to die. I mean, most of us have full-time jobs and need to cook something pretty quickly when we do need to cook, and we just don't have time to think about the morality involved in every food choice we make.
I think that's absolutely right. And I don't assume that people are going to tomorrow turn around and try to become totally moral in relation to food. I think people have to start small. Somebody asked me the other day how you start a garden, and I said you start small. I think you start small with food. One of the best ideas I ever came across was to say, spend $10 a week on something that's locally grown. Just $10 a week. Go to a farmer's market, find some way. Most places now there are farmer's markets. And if you go one of your weekend days, just take the trouble to go to find a farmer's market that's open on Saturday, make a little trip out of it, and buy $10 worth of food. It's a start. I used to do workshops with people trying to figure out what it meant, what it would mean to people to go local. Obviously, you can't grow the tropical things like tea and coffee. You can't grow a lot of the tropical seasonings, which are very lightweight, are very valuable, and really probably should be grown as export crops for tropical countries. You know, nutmeg and all those kinds of cinnamon, vanilla beans. But we can grow herb teas. It's obscene to import herb teas from China. And right now, China has set out to become the largest apple producer in the world. China, which needs every inch of cropland to feed its own people, is setting out to become the world's largest apple exporter, and it is wiping out Washington State and New York State. The competition is just fierce, and it's so sad.
But why? I mean, yeah. Just to play this out, what's wrong with China growing all the apples for the world if that's what China decides to do?
What is China going to eat?
Well, China's got an awful lot of land. Surely they've got enough room to grow apples and rice and the other things they need.
China has less land per capita than any country in the world. China has very little cropland. Most of China's land is not growable on. China is really strapped for cropland.
So is that the thing? Is that the thing that bothers you most? Because, I mean, I guess what we've got now is a system where China tries to grow the apples for the world and Argentina or Britain tries to grow the beef and the grain is all coming from someplace else. And I mean, it's all getting grown and it's all getting shipped around the world and it's all getting to people so most of us can eat.
Right. But the reality is that produce is about 90% water. So fundamentally, what we're doing is we're warming the planet, shipping cold water around the world. Things that we could mostly produce where we are, we ship from other places. The factoid, which I have no proof for, it's only used by all of us, so we call it a factoid, is that the average molecule of American food travels 2,000 miles. That's probably true. I mean, maybe it travels further now. Much of it comes by air. I used a statistic in my book about how many calories it takes, 435 fossil fuel calories, to fly a 5-calorie strawberry from California to New York. Now, given the fact that it's fossil fuel use that is killing us. I mean, we're going to burn up the planet. If anyone's not worried about the weather, they're not paying attention. My favorite recent story in the Times was a story about called America's Cheese State Fights to Stay That Way. Wisconsin, which has water-fed grass, has always been a dairy state because of that, can easily feed cattle without any irrigation, is in competition with California, which is growing cattle on alfalfa, usually raised with irrigation, to make cheese, which is a water-intensive process, in a state where all the water is overcommitted and there are real water problems. Now, that's nuts.
Joan DiGusso is the author of This Organic Life, and Strange Chimps talked with her.